Well, welcome back to Coast. We're going to have open lines for you now this hour as we chat about things going on this planet, in this universe. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch Gravity. Maybe one of the few movies I will go to, because most of the time I wait until they get onto a DVD or something like that. But Gravity is pulling in all kinds of money. The money's not falling to the planet. It is soaring, literally. $55.6 million they pulled in this weekend. Huge, huge. Dwarfing everybody else. And this is about the astronaut movie. You know, astronauts in space and something happens. They get blown up all over the place. If you've been there, check in with me too. Give me a little movie review if you want on that one, because that's just right down our alley, isn't it? Well, we will be back in a moment. We'll take open lines this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. And again, don't forget Ghost to Ghost on Halloween night, live programs for you on Thanksgiving night, Christmas Eve, Christmas night, New Year's Eve, New Year's night as well. But if you want to send us some ghost stories, send us an email to ghoststories@coasttocoastam.com. Include your phone number down there. We're going to do 4 hours of Ghost to Ghost this year, and normally do a 1 hour with a guest and then the 3 hours of ghost open lines. But the entire 4 hours we're going to devote this year. But some of you may not be able to get through. And so if you got an interesting ghost story that the producers like, and we've got your name and number, we might be able to call you and get you on so you can avoid the rush, so to speak. Anyways, let's go to the phones. We'll get things going. Let's go to Shania in Manhattan to get things going. Hi, Shania.
Oh, hi. Good morning, George. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
I wanted to talk with you a bit about that motorcycle rampage and some more information that I'd heard about it. That's really even more upsetting. There's regularly in Manhattan every summer there's big bicyclist rallies. And they get permits, and they do everything, you know, stop at the red lights and everything. They're really good. But the police had a tendency to over-respond, mm-hmm. and, people got, arrested for minor things, and there was always a huge police presence. With the motorcycle rally that just went on, the police were, they knew about it through social media, but there was nothing, there was no presence. I saw something on Inside Edition where an individual motorcyclist who just happened to be coming into town earlier that day, when he was coming from Brooklyn into Manhattan over the bridge, he got stopped by like two rookies who flagged him over and, just checked his paperwork and then, let him go into Manhattan. And then the guy later, when he was coming back out of town, he happened to see the motorcycle rally coming from Brooklyn into Manhattan. And they just blew through the red light. They went over the bridge. The cops didn't even try to flag them down. And, then the guy went over and, asked them, what's going on? And the guy said, well, why even bother stopping, trying to stop them? They won't, they won't stop. So, we didn't even bother trying.
Yeah, no, it would have been a disaster for police. You know, it's almost like a funeral procession where once the first car goes through a red light, you let them all go through, because there was just no way police would have been able to contain those many bikers at that time. That was a bizarre story, though, with the chase and the whole thing. Let's go to Micah in Dumas, Texas. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Micah.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Good, Micah. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to get to the thrust of this quickly. I agree with you on the belief that extraterrestrials are actually extra-dimensional beings. And I agree with your guest tonight that we are experiencing multidimensional reality. We're tuned to a frequency. They're tuned to a different one, right?
Yep.
Okay. I've been doing a little bit of research, and this applies to the infamous Linda Larkin phone call, or Lizette Larkin
phone call. Lizette, right.
Okay. You nailed it. I believe you nailed it on the head when you said that she's the PR person. Okay? Now, you can go back and look at a lot of the Earth Files podcasts on Linda Bolton House website, specifically episodes 8, 7, and 4. Okay, some of the people she interviews, they all come back with the same kind of stories about how during the telepathic communication from these beings, they give you images of an apocalypse, that we're here to help, we're here to guide your spiritual evolution, but we don't want to interfere with your free will, so you got to do this, da-da-da-da-da. I think that's just a line.
It's a game.
I think that's a line that they feed us so we will not resist. I think their goal, really, is to somehow feed off of our emotional energy. I think a lot of the weird and scary stuff they do is simply to elicit strong emotional response.
It's like the old Twilight Zone to serve man, right?
Right.
It's a cookbook. Well, come back. It's a cookbook.
But they're not eating us in a biological sense.
Well, let's hope not.
They're feeding off our radiant emotional energy. That's what I think.
You know, at least 200,000 people a year disappear on this planet. They're gone. Nobody knows where they are. They're just poof. They're gone. Now, I'm sure a lot of them have died, or they've wandered off, they've been murdered. But come on. Somebody's coming down and taking them, maybe. So maybe they are being eaten. Who knows? Barbara's in L.A., west of the Rockies. Hey, Barbara, good morning.
Hi, George. I just want to tell you, I'm glad you put Peter Bragan on, because he presents some of the alternatives to mental health
treatment. He's good. I like him.
But also, I'd like to say that Medicare doesn't cover alternative treatments, and a lot of us want to get on them. And also, there's a mental health rights movement that a lot of us clients are a part of. It's nationwide, and where we try to have some input to the system that we're being subjected to. And the saying we have is nothing about us without us. And it's just frustrating when I hear people blame the shooters. Like all the time, these different shooters, they're blamed for their mental health, and the whole picture isn't brought out. And I'm really concerned about that. And I'll listen off the air.
Well, it's too bad the alternative medicine is not being covered, because it's cheaper in the long run than some of the conventional medicine that's being given out to people. That's unfortunate. Did not know that at all. At all. Lots going on this planet, though. I'm telling you, I'm feeling it more and more that people are just at edge. They're stressed. By the way, this budget situation and this shutdown, experts are now saying this could be worse than 2008 if they don't get their act together pretty soon. And we cannot afford a collapse worse than 2008. I mean, we're still limping, for crying out loud. And, you know, you can't have another one. These clowns in Washington need to get this stuff fixed. I mean, my gosh, they keep going at it left and right. Nobody's doing anything. We'll go to Cindy in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the show. Hello, Cindy.
Hi there, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You are very welcome.
Just wanted to revisit the bullying topic for a minute.
Sure.
Sure, yeah. When I was younger and in elementary school, I had buck teeth. I was tall, very skinny, no bod and anything like that. And I was bullied mercifully. I mean, it was terrible.
Just because of your appearance?
Because of my appearance, yeah. You know, I mean,
kids are cruel.
Yeah, but they look at you and you think with buck teeth that you're ugly and everything like that. Well, I kind of turned the coin on them, because when I got into high school, well, middle school, I got braces, kind of filled out a little bit.
You blossomed.
Blossomed. And those boys that literally just bullied me to death, every one of them, I pretty much had to beat off with a stick. But you want to know something, George? I never dated one of them.
Good for you.
Never did. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that there is kind of a spin to it, and they should watch out. These people that are bullying people should watch out. They may want to date them one day.
Of course, don't forget, I was very nice to you, Cindy, in high school. Remember that.
Also, I also wanted just a real quick, also, these young men that are bullying these nerds in school, they will wind up being their bosses one day.
The nerds will be, yeah.
Yep.
And they'll remember.
And they will remember. I remembered every single one of them.
I used to have a slide rule in school. You remember what those were?
Yeah. And then I just wanted to, if you just had just another second, is it with this government shutdown, just kind of turn the topic a little bit, the government shutdown, is it they, what these representatives from Congress and everything, they don't remember that they work for us. And every single one of them can be voted out of office.
And they should be.
And they should be. And you know what? And that would really, really make a point and a statement.
Yep.
Stating that if you cannot get along and do your job, we will not have you as leaders.
2016 is going to be a pretty interesting presidential run, isn't it?
I think that we should vote every single one of them out of office. Every single one of them. Because the next batch that comes in, they will take note of that.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you for your time.
Okay, Cindy. Let's. Our Skype, by the way, is down this week. It's not up. So if you're trying to get through us, Tom says hopefully by tomorrow Skype will be up and running again. But I know a lot of you try to get through on our Skype line, and it's an internal system. It is not Skype. It's us. And hopefully it'll be rolling tomorrow. I use it a lot for our international calls from way out. I mean, we've gotten calls from South Korea, Australia, Tokyo, you name it. It's been a valuable tool since we had that installed. Let's go to Washington State of. Paul's with us. Hey, Paul, go ahead. Are you there? Paul has disappeared. He's been abducted by aliens. But Mike is in Anderson, Indiana. Hello, Michael.
Hi, George. No, it's amazing to talk to you, and I love your show.
Thank you, Mike.
You know, they talk about bullying, and I think it's like the culture in the United States. Like, if you don't wear, like, the Air Jordans in school, and if even go back, I grew up in the 90s, and if you weren't, like, I grew up wearing ripped jeans and
shirts,
and you were in Converse All-Stars, and now today, like, if you wear Converse All-Stars, you're awesome, but now, like, if you wear hipster glasses and Converse All-Stars, you're a cool kid, and back then, they just picked on you, and when my family didn't have money to buy me clothes and stuff, I went to Salvation Army to buy clothes, and they picked on me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's cruel. I mean, they don't understand that there's some families that just can't pay that kind of money for clothes.
Not even that, but it's like even today's like society, like the kid, you're not cool unless you have a smartphone and got all Twitter and everything else. And it's like, what are these people, these kids in my generation are having kids? And they buy their kids these smartphones and everything else and approve of this stuff.
Well, and the pressure, Michael, that they put on kids who don't buy the phones is unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. I mean, why do they need these things?
I went for years with just a flip phone, not a smartphone. I got the smartphone finally to do emails.
I was 20 years old.
Yeah, I know that. Now, kids are cruel. A lot of kids are cruel. I mean, and, not every family can afford smartphones and designer clothes and the latest tennis shoes. They can't do that. Let's go to Washington State of again. Paul's back. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, hi, George. How you doing?
There you are. Good.
George, I was watching your show, Ancient Aliens, and one of the things I want to ask you is, in the Great Sphinx, there's supposed to be some ancient texts or scripts talking about how to get inside there that's supposed to bring knowledge to mankind, especially for the Egyptian people. Now, do you think that anybody might have already gotten that information?
Oh, I sure do. I think, this is my guess, that Zahi Hawass, who at the time was heading up Egypt's antiquities, and he's out now. When Mubarak got out, he's out. But I think that Edgar Cayce, who in one of his readings said that there's a hall of records at the base of the Sphinx, and we've had guests on this program who have found a tomb under there, I think someone like Zahi Hawass probably put a tent around the thing and went in there and got whatever was in there. I can't see with all the information that was out there, that there's something there and what Casey had said, I can't see how they didn't go down there and dig that up. I'm sure they did. And I think he's the guy. Now, he'd probably deny it. I don't know where he is. I'd like to find him, maybe get him back on again somewhere. But I do. I do think they took it, no doubt. Let's go to Spartanburg, South Carolina. Roth's with us, first-time caller. Hello, Roth.
Good morning, George. Privilege and honor to speak to you.
You too, sir.
Mr. Norrie, I lost my father. Y'all were having a fascinating subject on dreams. I lost my father a week before Christmas in 2012, and I say my father. He was my stepfather. And I guess my question, I also lost my grandmother in March of the following year, week after my birthday. But while she's come to me in a dream, George, I've yet to, you know, have my father come to me in a dream. And I was just wondering if there was anything I could do to try to channel him more or just, you know, go with it. I mean, I feel like he's still with me. I've got some of his ashes in a cross that I wear around my neck every day. And though he has not come to me in a dream, I still feel like he's there. And I guess I'll just have to go with that fact.
I think sometimes they don't come back. They move on and they keep going. And you shouldn't feel bad about that. Other times you might make contact. But in terms of tuning yourself up, I think the best way to do it is probably in your dream state. You know, right before you go to sleep, maybe concentrate on your father. You might dream about him, but it's also, I think, an easier vehicle for them to communicate with you in that kind of state. You know, there's something there. So I would give that a try, but I would not feel bad that you haven't been able to get in contact with him. You know, Harry Houdini spent his whole life trying to get a hold of his mother and was unsuccessful doing that. He had gone through a countless number of mediums, and it just did not happen. There's one medium I like, James von Prague. He's pretty good. And Marianne Winkowski, she's pretty good too. I mean, she's a Ghostbuster. Let's take a few more calls before the break, and then we'll come back with more. Ryan is in Washington State. Lots of calls from Washington today. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, George. I was wondering, you said something about Harry Houdini, or I may have got the first name wrong. Was he buried in his original uniform or whatever it was? And I was wondering if bullying could actually be a compulsion, because I got an obsessive compulsive disorder, but I've never bullied. But
good.
I don't know, I was just wondering.
Good. Bullying is something else. In terms of Harry Houdini, I don't know what he was buried in. I guess just his suit or something like that. And that was a long, long time ago. But he was a great escape artist. He may have been one of the best. By the way, if you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com, please make sure you're following us on Twitter and you're liking us on Facebook. And also, we've got Instagram up and running now. You can do all that by going to coasttocoastam.com, far right-hand corner. Just click that, all those icons, and then you're part of the team. Simple as that. And if you want to be a Coast Insider, that is 15 cents a day. But also don't forget the free apps for Android and iPhone. Download those, too, by going to coasttocoastam.com. We're coming back with more open lines. Don't touch your dial. Well, Dean from Ontario, California, he saw Gravity, loved the movie. So it was incredible. And, you know, it's a 3D movie, too. So that's pretty good. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about doomsday theories. Make sure you're part of that. And we'll be back in a moment with final open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Let's go to the other open line calls. Terry, Greenville, South Carolina. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, George. I'm just a couple of miles up the road from your Spartanburg caller.
Okay, that's close. Yeah, I'm getting calls from all over the place.
You were talking with a guest a couple of weeks ago about cryptozoology. And that reminded me of some places that I have visited that have unusual rock formations that bear a strong resemblance to animals. For instance, there's a place called Horsepens 40 in Alabama, and it has rock formations that resemble a dinosaur head, a thunderbird, and an elephant, and a place you might be familiar with in Missouri called Elephant Rock State Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a rock formation that looks like a dinosaur getting ready to swallow an egg. And I kind of like to speculate on the possibility that creatures, just like trees, might have been petrified in ancient times.
You know what? So you're saying that what we're looking at, they're not rocks. They're really petrified animals from way gone back.
I'm thinking that there's a possibility.
That's kind of a neat theory.
Yeah.
That could be. I mean, you're right. I mean, because these things strangely look like those animals.
Oh, bearing a strong resemblance.
But you never know. You know, if you were looking at it from a spaceship, you would swear that they were fossils of animals, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if Hoagland's going to do that. Hey, thanks for the call. Purnell is with us in Houston, Texas, first-time caller. Good morning, Purnell.
How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to you since I was in probably about fourth or fifth grade, and now I'm a junior in college.
Good so. For you. What are you taking up in school?
I'm doing computer science.
Good field.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. But I wanted to speak on. I didn't hear the whole conversation or the whole night. I wanted to speak briefly on the school, on how kids are being treated today in school. And I think that without the way, like, bullying is bad, obviously.
Sure.
But some of it is needed to a point.
Tell me why.
Because without it, I've seen kids that are, like, homeschooled. They don't understand simple, like, how to talk to people without, you know, I don't know how to say it correctly, without sounding offended, or it's simple things like that. Just the bullying alone helps, you know, make you more mature.
So you think it toughens somebody up a little bit?
Right, right. I mean, honestly, I've been to three different high schools, and jumping back and forth from high school is, you know, always chaotic.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you always have to get used to the next person. But it helped me become a better person because I learned how to meet people faster and talk to people faster.
Yeah, no, it does. It's traumatic going from one school to the next, isn't it?
Right. It is. I can't say that it's not. It is. But it helped me learn how to make connections faster. You know, I mean, and now that's helping me in college to make connections fast,
yeah.
You know, and without those people that were making fun of me and saying, oh, you're big, you're that, you're, you know, I wouldn't be able to deal with it now. You know, I mean, I think it's a vital part of life.
Yeah. But you know, kids are still cruel.
Yeah, you can't get me wrong. They're cruel. They're absolutely cruel. I mean, I've seen a little 8-year-old with an iPhone and I was just like, are you serious? what's going on? You know,
I love
that. Yeah,
I think we'll do a show one day on what the youngest kids in terms of age, how having these smartphones. They're all into technology now. They know what they're doing. My son's a little 3-year-old. His name's Simon, the little kid. He plays a little video game. He's got a handheld little video game. He's 3 years old. He knows what he's doing. I can't even figure it out. Of course, when I went to get it, he jumped me. You can't do that. Anyways, Tom's got a text message for us. Hey, Tom, what do you got?
From Tammy in South Carolina. She says, George, I love emerging artists. As I was listening, I was wondering if you think music has the ability to control our actions.
By the way, how long have we been doing emerging artists now when we came up with that concept? It's almost 2 years now.
Must be 2-3 years, yeah. Absolutely.
Explain to everybody what your office looks like.
I can't even explain it. There is a huge locker with 8 drawers on top of each other, all full with CDs from around the United States, from just packed, fabulous musicians.
And we only pick
8 a month.
8 a month. 7 a month.
7 a month. 7, yeah. That's true. So.
7 a month. But the lucky ones that get through, that's, anyways, what's the text question again? I forgot.
But it's all random. It's important for people to know that it's all random, the music we choose.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so Tammy in South Carolina says, George, I love emerging artists, and as I was listening, I was wondering if you think music has the ability to control our actions.
Oh, I think so. I mean, first of all, they play music to get your mood at restaurants. They play music to get your mood when you shop. How many times have you heard one of your great songs that brings back some great memory and it puts you in a great state of mind? You know, some of the bumper music, for example, we pick, it's not just because we like the song. It's because it has, an interesting feeling to it, whether it's the mood of the show or whatever we're trying to convey in terms of a message.
Have you ever heard a song and you just start tapping your feet just because you like the song?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It controls our actions, yeah, I think.
It sure does. All right, thanks, Tom. Next up, let's go to Mike in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, first-time listener.
Thank you, Michael.
All very interesting. I wanted to backtrack for a bit. Two items. First, one, if you had any new information on the Vimana ship that has been discovered in a cave in Asia, and anything on the UFO ship that was found...
In the Baltic Sea?
Yeah, well, there's another one found in a cave in the park in Mexico, and the government has now declared the park to be off limit to the public.
Okay, those all those stories that the Vimana, I don't think that's a real story. I think that's a myth. We've been trying to track that thing down, and we're not getting much cooperation from anybody. So that one, I would say, is not real. The UFO ships in Mexico, something's going on there. It's been a huge area for UFO reports. And you're right, nobody can get into the cave. I don't know what's in there. In the other reports of, UFOs and ships, that too is up in the air. But the one in Mexico could be, I think, probably one of the strange ones, because something is indeed happening there. I believe in UFOs. I go at it. I have arguments with people. I think we've been visited. Scientists who come on this show who believe in extraterrestrial life, and then they back off saying that we've been visited. You know, if we're a million years, if they're a million years ahead of us in terms of knowledge and technology, which is not long, they could be doing all kinds of incredible things. They really can. Okay, let us go back to the phones. We've got Mark, truck driving in California West. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hey there.
Yeah.
When you said your Skype was down, I didn't know you were government funded on Skype. So
no.
That'd be down. I had a story about bullying, and the caller before was talking about how it's good and it toughens people up. There's a line between, you know, teasing and toughening somebody, but it's, you know, like the drum major. You get in a line where they punch your arm, but when they make you bleed to death, that's, you know, over the line.
That's over the line. That's right.
And when I was a kid, I was out playing with some friends, and the neighborhood bully came by. We used to play by this washed-out creek gully. Had a cliff about 20 feet. We were on top of it, and he shoved me off of it.
Oh, my God.
And
could have killed you.
Pretty much, he killed me. I used to always believe that I died because I had my first out-of-body experience where I was kind of levitating basically over the spot where I landed. I went through a plate glass window and onto some rocks.
God.
And I watched my brother and his friend carry me back to the house, and I was basically following. And it was a short time later, I just regained, you know, life or my consciousness back in the house then. But I clearly was away and watching them, wondering who they were carrying. And it turned out to be myself.
It was you. Whatever happened to the guy who pushed you?
I heard that something terrible happened to him. And I actually laughed to myself. I did not, you know, feel bad about it, which was kind of odd, but
not really.
And don't really know, but somebody said, yeah, he had an accident.
Karma.
So karma, karma does come around.
It does.
I believe in that, but it's weird that, you know, that bullying experience actually gave me what actually was the first, and I don't know if maybe if I was actually dead, triggered more of these. But I was able, and a lot of people, you know, skeptics don't believe me and laugh, but I was able to levitate several times after that and basically have out-of-body experiences, but actually physical levitation too.
So on one point, it helped you a little bit, but I bet you wish you didn't have to go through with that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a dramatic way to get there. And, you know, it's the brain and life and everything's complicated. I don't know how it all works. Nobody does. Would I have been able to do that without the traumatic experience? Who knows? But it seemed to trigger something.
Mark, do you have any dreams of that episode of falling?
Yes, I do. In fact, I remember it in most details. At least probably once every year or two.
Unbelievable. How long were you laid up?
Not long, actually. It didn't break anything.
So you bounced back pretty fast.
Yeah. I was full of cactus. It was in Texas. And, you know, the next day I seemed to be fine. I think I stayed in bed the whole day. I was probably 8, 9 at the time.
Gosh.
I believe so. Everything was fine, but ever since that point, I have been able to tap into, you know, something from a slightly odd dimension.
Well, I'm glad you're here kicking.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad I am too.
All right, thanks. And again, Skype's down, should be up tomorrow. I'll let you know that during the show. Lots of you try to get through to us on the Skype end, and let us go east of the Rockies. Tommy's with us in Dover, Delaware. Nice spot. Hi, Tommy.
Hey.
How are you?
In middle school, I was bullied a lot. And one day, one of the main bullies chased me all the way home. But we lived in a locked apartment building, and no one was home to buzz me in. So I just turned around and faced him. And stood there. He gave me all he had on the chin, and my head just turned sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I looked right back at him, and he took off running.
Did he leave you alone after that?
Me ever since.
Good, good. You have to stand up to him.
Yep, but just that one incident is like him and the rest of his buddies never bothered me since.
Yep, I have found that most people who can defend themselves. They aren't bullies. They don't have to. It's the weak that are the bullies, and they've got this persona that you know, hey, we're tough and all that, but they really aren't. They back down, they crumble, they cry, they do all that stuff. Let's go to Colville, Washington, first time caller. Hello, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, it's a pleasure getting to talk to you. I've been listening to the show since probably the late 90s.
Oh, thanks for supporting us so long.
And, you know, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. Well, number one, I took a picture of a planet that I believe is a planet with my camera phone in negative picture mode. And it just looks like a planet around that's like right at the base of the sun, with almost a blue, like, haze on it.
Some people think that there is a second object out there. You may have. Can you send that to us somehow?
Sure, I sure could.
At my email, george@coasttocoastam.com. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I'll definitely send that. I did send that to you once in a text, but I know you get millions.
We got a million texts, and we can't get through to all of them.
You know, and also I could touch on the bully thing real quick.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a very passive individual. I still am. And the kids all took that as a real weakness. But they didn't know that I had a stepdad that used to beat me up quite a bit, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I went to school every day. I'd go on the school bus, and the kids would pick on me, and they'd hit me or beat me up, or they'd take my hat or whatever. And one day I'd gotten a little slapped around by my stepdad and went to school, and the kids did that, and I let one of them have it.
Good for you.
I actually broke the plexiglass bus window on the side by punching him.
Wow.
And the biggest bully on the bus stood up and said, "I didn't take your hat. I didn't take your hat." And he was actually the one that took it, but he was so scary. Like I said, you know, and that's just a lesson to.
And it was enough was enough, and they left you alone.
That's right. The bullies need to. Yeah. The bullies should just not.
The episode with your stepfather hitting you, I mean, did that scar you later?
You know, I would say yes. And then I've probably done a lot of, I have a very good close friend who's been like a spiritual father to me.
Yeah.
And he really is a spiritual person from Hawaii. And he helped me, he guided me through a lot of the healing process in that. And, you know, I've gone to the man and apologized to him for anything I've done, just because I felt like that was something in my first step. And then also let him know that I forgave him, you know.
How did he take that?
You know, he's a rough man. He was in the Korean War at 16. Believe it or not, the St. Louis Cardinals wanted to sign him up as a pitcher.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah, his father told him, you know, that's a pipe dream, and, you know, you forget about it. You'll never amount to anything if you do that. But he was willing to let him sign him up to go to the Korean War, and I think that really scarred him. So the way that he took it was probably more, you know, let bygones be bygones, and, you know, the past is the past. That's the way he said it.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you were able to, you know, pull yourself out of that.
Absolutely. As well, absolutely. We all make choices. We all get to, I think, create our own outcomes.
Well, we sure do. Mike, thanks for the call.
You bet. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Jane in Boise, Idaho. Jane, I only got about a minute for you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm one of five kids. I'm the middle one. And I was always really nice growing up. And so anyway, one day my older sister and I used to get battles occasionally. I knew I could beat her up. I was easygoing, so usually I was provoked into something. So we were walking to the grocery store for my mom, and a friend of my sister's was with us. And I didn't know my sister had the reputation of being tough.
Uh-oh.
So my sister let out with a couple swear words. I said, "You better stop it, and I'm telling mom." And so we kept walking, and she let loose a couple more. And so I tossed her on the ground. And I sat on her. Anyway, this girl watched me do this. She was terrified after that of me. Word got around that I was really tough because my sister had everyone buffalo thinking she was tough, so I handled her with no problem.
Well, I'd be afraid, too, if you sat on us. I didn't want that to happen. Hey, thanks for that call. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lux Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borrows, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.